live up to your font. Okay, now turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Now, chapter 23 and 24 we're going to go through pretty quickly. Get through those. Give you what I've got in them. There's a lot of names and things in them. So we're going to just go through them. Can't really do justice to the course because we have to get through the material. I'm going to give you as much as I can on the highlights, the important things, and I may even miss something on some of the names and things like that, but sometime you can go back through and do an in-depth word-by-word study, and I'll try to give you the highlights here. Okay, chapter 23, we have one outline for the passage, just the division of the Levites, verses 1 to 32. Talks about the Levites. Now let me read a few verses here in the beginning of the chapter. So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their polls, man by man, was 38,000. Of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. Okay. Number one, verse one, we see that Solomon's made king. Now, he's made king twice, or at least anointed twice. Be once here, and then also in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 22, the end of the book, says 1 Chronicles 29, 22, last portion of the verse, or the middle part, and says, and they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time and anointed him unto the Lord to be chief governor, and Zadok to be the priest. So Solomon is anointed twice in his life to be king. I guess you could type that out as Jesus Christ. He was anointed the first time when he came. He says, I was anointed to preach the gospel. And then when he comes the next time, he's going to be the anointed king of kings. And so he'll be anointed twice. Verses 3 to 6, now we have the Levites numbered, and the Levites were numbered from 30 years to 50 years old. Okay, those were the guys that did the work, at least in the tabernacle of Moses. Now in the temple it will be a little different, but in the tabernacle from 30 years to 50 years was the term of duty or service for a Levite, a 20 years and out type deal, you know. 30 years to 50 years, Numbers 4:3. Now it says here there were 38,000 of these fellows, 38,000 of them that were from that age that did this work. And now 24,000 of them in verse 4 were to do the work of the house of the Lord, just anything that needed to be done around them, whatever work they had to do, there was 24,000 fellows to do that. That's a lot of guys, but you think how many people were in Israel and how many sacrifices would be made there every day. That really kept them hopping. And then there were 6,000 of them that were officers and judges. And then you had 4,000 that were porters and 4,000 that played instruments. And, of course, you total those figures up there, you come up with 38,000 men. So you had a kind of a division there. You had the workers, the officers, the porters, and the instruments, the ones that played instruments. And it looks like David, in verse 5, had designed or made or come up with some instruments, and they played on those. And he divides them into the courses of the sons of Levi, namely Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. Now, if you've done any studying, we did it earlier in the book of Chronicles, where, don't remember the exact chapter, chapter 8, I think. Now that's Benjamin. Maybe chapter 6. Chapter 6. Yeah, 1 Chronicles 6, there was a division there of the Levites and talked about Kohath and Gershom and Merari. And the book of Numbers, if you take that, explains it all about them in the book of Numbers. Now, verses 7 to 11 here in the passage are sons of Gershom, or the Gershomites. Verses 7 to 11. Just give some names in the passage. I'm not going to read through the names. And the verses 12 to 20. Verses 12 to 20, the sons of Kohath. The sons of Kohath. Verse 12 says the sons of Kohath, Amram, and so forth, and goes on down through there. Also, verse 15 lists the sons of Moses. Moses' sons, Gershom and Eliezer. And it gives you their sons also. The son of Moses' son Gershom had a son named Shebuel, verse 15 or 16. It says the son of Gershom, Shebuel, was the chief. And the son of Eliezer, verse 17, would be the other son of Moses, and his son, which had been Moses' grandson, Rehabah. So just kind of a little family line there, you know, a little trivia there. Who's Moses' grandson, you know, by Gershom? Everybody knows that's Shebuel, right? Okay, you've heard of him before, okay? But, you know, some of these names, you read through them, you're wondering who they are. Well, when you study that a little bit, you start seeing who they are and who they were related to and things like that. And kind of puts the pieces of the puzzle together, because there's a lot of names in the book of Chronicles. Then verses 21 to 23, you have the sons of Merari. And over and over and over, you have those three divisions of the Levites. Now verse 24 says, these were the sons of Levi after the house of their fathers. Of course, talking about Kohath, Merari, and Gershom. Even the chief of the fathers, as they were counted by number of names by their polls, that did the work for the service of the house of the Lord from the age of 20 years and upward. For David said, the Lord God of Israel hath given rest unto his people, and that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. Now David, he starts counting the Levites from age 20 and on up. In the law, under the commandment that God gave him, it was from 30 and on up. But later on, when the temple is built, there is so much involved with the upkeep and service of that temple and all the things that are going on, David lowers the limit age to 20, where for at least 10 years that one Levite at age 20 to 30, he is kind of like an apprentice, if you will. He's learning how to do the service of the Levitical priesthood. And he, you know, does probably all the menial jobs and things like that, but he's learning. And then when he becomes of age, he'll be able to go right into the service of the Lord in the temple there. So there was a little internship there, and I believe in the book of Numbers, Brother Mike Thomas's course, he covers that a little better and gives you some stuff on that. You don't want to duplicate too much material. Now verse 26 says, and also unto the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle for any vessels, nor any vessels of it for the service thereof. See, you remember from the book of Numbers again that when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, it was the job of the Levites to pack that tabernacle up every time they had to move, put all the vessels in right order and all that, and they had to carry that. And that was a real, you know, burden and a real chore, take that thing down and put it up every time they had to move. And so now, finally, they have a resting place. And, of course, the king who they have at the time when they get to rest, his name means peaceable, Solomon, a time of rest. And they get the rest for a few short years anyway. They'll get the permanent one when the Prince of Peace comes back and sets up his kingdom. Now, Numbers 27 to 32 talks about the duties of the Levites. Verse 27, for by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above. There's where David gives the command. Because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts and in the chambers, in the purifying of the holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread and for the fine flour for meat offering, and for the unleavened cakes, and for that which is baked in the pan, and for that which is fried, and for all manner of measure and size, to stand every morning to give thanks and praise, or to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbath. Now see, right here, make a note, was any Jew ever allowed to work on the Sabbath? A Jew was not allowed under Levitical law to work on the Sabbath. But nevertheless, the priests offered sacrifices on the Sabbath. It says right there, verse 31, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, the priest did do some work. So when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up and he heals a man on the Sabbath, and the Pharisee says, hey, what are you working on the Sabbath for? And I don't remember the exact passage, but he says over, I think, in the book of Luke, didn't the priest do something on the Sabbath too? It makes a reference to that. And of course, Jesus Christ is a priest, and so he's the Lord of the Sabbath, and he was not breaking any law by doing that. The Levitical priests were allowed to work on the Sabbath. Excuse me. It says, in the new moons, then the set feast by number, according to the order, the command unto them continually before the Lord. They should keep charge of the tabernacle, the congregation, in charge of the holy place, in charge of sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the service in the house of the Lord. So they had quite a task to do. They had all those sacrifices, holy things to take care of, all the burnt offerings, anything that came in, and all the different feast days. They had to prepare and make ready for everything. So there was quite a job there. And you can imagine on those feast days when all of Israel would have to come down there to the place the Lord chose and making sacrifices. I mean, it'd take literally days, probably. A lot of those feasts did last many days. Feast of Passover lasted 7 days, which was with the unleavened bread. And then you had Pentecost and then Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement and things like that last week there. So it took a long time for those priests to do all those sacrifices. That's about it in chapter 23. Now we'll go on to chapter 24. And an outline quickly on chapter 24 is just one point. You have the division of the priest, the division of the priest. And the division of the Levites in the other chapter. Remember, a Levite is not a priest always, but all priests are Levites. Okay? That will probably be on the test. I got tricked on that one once. All priests are Levites, but not every Levite is a priest. A Levite was just a man from the tribe of Levi, but he didn't always have the office of a priesthood. He might have been a porter, a singer, something like that, not a priest. He might have had to take care of something else other than the duties of the priest, so that's something to note. So when you have the division of Levites, that's a little different than the division of the priest, although they were both Levites. Okay. Chapter 24. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest office. And David distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech, the son of Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. And there was more, and there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than the sons of Ithamar. And thus were they divided among the sons of Eleazar. There were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and eight among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. I'll go ahead and read verse 5. Thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary and the governors of the house of God were of the sons of Eleazar and the sons of Ithamar. Okay, now, verses 1 and 2, you have the sons of Aaron. And he had four sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died, doesn't tell you in the passage here why, just said they died before their father, but you can find that in Leviticus 10, 1 and 2. Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, is they offered strange fire before the Lord. The Lord told them, hey, there's a certain incense and certain thing you're supposed to burn here, and if you mix anything different than I tell you, then you've had it. And of course, they didn't obey the every jot and tittle of the law, and when they offered strange fire before the Lord, a fire came out and kindled them and fried them alive. So those two boys died for disobedience. Still glad I'm under grace. And then verse 3, you have Zadok and Ahimelech. Okay, Ahimelech. Now, Zadok is a descendant from Eleazar, who was one of the sons of Aaron. Remember, clear? You've got to kind of get your mind in gear here. You go back to when they were in the wilderness. You had Aaron and Moses. Then Aaron had Eleazar and Ithamar. So that's back when the children of Israel were wandering around the wilderness. Now, this fellow in verse 3 is named Zadok. He is a descendant from Eleazar. Okay? And then Ahimelech is a descendant of Ithamar. So you have those two men there, Zadok and Ahimelech, descendants from the two sons of Aaron. And 1 Chronicles 18, verse 16 will give us that. 1 Chronicles 18, 16. Well, it says, and Zadok the son of Ahitub and Ahimelech the son of Abiathar were priests. It's showing you that they are priests, and that's back where I gave you in chapter 18, David's cabinet, the men that were the priests, okay? You had Zadok, and I believe Zadok would have been the high priest, and Ahimelech would have been the kind of associate priest there, and such a thing. And those two men were the priests, but they were both descendants from Aaron, and that was the Levitical priesthood line. Okay, that was the line that you come down for the priest. And that was even a line that later on Ezra comes from, Ezra 7, 1 and following in those verses. Okay, so Zadok and Ahimelech are in the priestly line. Then verse 4, Eleazar had twice as many sons as Ithamar. He had 16, Ithamar had 8, total of 24 boys there altogether. And then verses 5 and 6, it said they were divided by lot, okay, by lot. Now, when it says here in verse 5, they were divided by lot, that means that they cast lots to determine the divisions. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, that the lot is cast in the lap, but the whole dispensing thereof is of the Lord's. Something that effect may not be word for word quotation, but it's something that effect. Proverbs 16:33 says that the Lord determines the lot, you know, the lottery. It's basically what it's like, and He determines how it comes out. Now, they use this method a lot in the Old Testament, and they used it at least once in the New Testament. I'll give you a couple references here. Saul cast lots in 1 Samuel 14, 41, and 42. 1 Samuel 14, 41, and 42. He cast lots to determine who had caused, who had ate some food that day. It was back there when it talks about Jonathan, his son, dipped his rod in the honeycomb and took a bite, and Saul commanded nobody to eat that day. And some things happened, and Saul cast lots to figure out who it was, and it turned up Jonathan. The lot turned up the man who did it. So it shows you that the Lord shows who did that. There's another one. It doesn't say lot, but there's another one in the book of Joshua about Achan, but it didn't say they cast lots there. All it said is the Lord showed him which tribe it was. Possibly they did cast lots, but it didn't say that, so I can't really give you that as a reference on it. But it shows you that the Lord knows exactly who did what, and He gets right down to the person, not just the nation or the tribe or the family, but the person. And so He knows every hair on the head. And then they did it once in the New Testament, at least once, maybe other references, but an apostle was chosen by casting lots. Acts 1:26, Matthias was picked out, they cast lots. Now, we as Christians don't need to do that. we've got the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures to guide us by. And we don't have to say, well, you know, Lord, if I throw this, cast this lot or do this, I'll do this or do that. No, you pray about it, let the Holy Spirit lead and let the Scriptures lead. So that was all about casting lots, not when Abraham and Lot split up. When he went away, that wasn't casting lots there. Lot got cast around. He got captured by some of those kings, I'm sure. Casting lot. But that wasn't the same thing. Okay, let's go to verse 7. From verse 7 to 19, it gives you the order of these sons now. The order of the sons of Eleazar and Ithamar. And the order in which they were to come to serve the Lord. See, what it was certain times and certain months these men had to come and fulfill the office. And then the next group would come in. They weren't there the whole time. The thing would rotate. And so they had to come up by lot, had to come up when it was their turn. And then it says, verse 7, now the first lot came to Jehoiarib, the second to Jediah, and so forth and so on, all the way down to verse 18, and you have the 24th, Maaziah. So you have all those fellows there, and those lots fell exactly like they did to put those fellows in the exact order the Lord wanted them. Now verses 20 to 31, you have some other, the rest of the sons of Levi. Now they cast lots also. The rest of the sons of Levi were these, the sons of Amram, goes on down, gives their names. Now, a lot of times, I noticed in these names and lists, you'll get a guy who was like maybe their great-great-great-great-grandfather. They'll list him to show you where they're coming from, and then it'll jump right up to the present time and start listing some people's names. I guess it just does that. The Lord just did that to show you what tribe they were from, and then show you who he's talking about at the present time, that they were just a descendant from those fellows. So then verses on down to about verse, really, 30, just gives a bunch of list of names and the divisions again of some other Levites, sons of Aaron. And verse 31 says, likewise, these cast lots over against their brethren and the sons of Aaron in the presence of David the king and Zadok and Ahimelech and the chief of the fathers of the priests and Levites, even the principal fathers over against their younger brethren. So there you have it, that those fellows also cast lots to get the position they were to be in. And the Lord put them where he wanted them. Basically, that's all I can give you out of chapter 24. Rather than run every name and everything like that, give you kind of the highlights. Now, chapter 25, found some really interesting things in here, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. How close are we to, you haven't flipped it yet? How are we doing? Okay. Well, I'm going to have a little more time than I thought then. That's good. Be able to read a little more and explain a few things. Okay, let's go to chapter 25 now. Chapter 25, we have the division of the singers. Okay, we've had it of the priests and the Levites, and now the singers. And these fellows were involved in the temple worship. Okay, let me read a few verses here. Chapter 25, moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service was of the sons of Asaph, Zachar and Joseph, Nethaniah and Azrilah. The sons of Asaph under the hands of Asaph, which prophesied according to the order of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zerai, and Josiah, Hashabiah, Mathatiah, six under the hand of their father, Jeduthun, who prophesied with harps to give thanks and to praise the Lord. Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mathaniah, Uziel, Shabuel, and Jeremoth, Elathan, Gittai, Romatai Ezer, Josbekaziah. Wow, what a name. I call him something easy like George or Sam, you know. Malathai, Hothar, and Mahizioth. Okay, what a career. I mean, can you imagine calling those guys for dinner? Man, I've got four kids, and I mix up their names all the time. I can't have a time with those guys' names. Verse 5, all these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the word of God, to lift up the horn. And God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. I'd say the Lord really blessed that fella. Okay, verse 1 now. We have some fellows mentioned there, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun. Now Asaph, he's a Levite, and he's from the tribe of Gershom, or from the son of he's a son of Gershom, a son of Levi. And you'll find that in 1 Chronicles 6, verses 39 to 43, that this fellow named Asaph here is from Gershom, who's a son of Levi. 1 Chronicles 6, 39 to 43. Next of all, you find Heman is from Kohath, who was a son of Levi, and that's in 1 Chronicles 6, 33 to 38. 1 Chronicles 6, 33 to 38. And then this Jeduthun, I thought maybe he was from the tribe of Merari. You know, it'd be nice to figure all that out, and those three boys and all that stuff, but I couldn't find the reference on that. I'm not sure exactly where he's a descendant from, which one of those. You may be able to find it. I couldn't find it. I looked for it, and I just don't know exactly what tribe. I know he's from Levi, but I don't know which one of the sons of Levi he's from. Couldn't trace it back. But Asaph and Heman, they are definitely, we've got that from Scripture, that they're from Gershom and Kohath. And probably Jeduthun would be from Merari, but I couldn't prove that from Scripture, but it seemed like the Lord would do that, keeping things consistent. Now, this fellow named Asaph, I'm going to give you a couple things about the Psalms and their names appearing in the Psalms. Okay, Asaph, you know, if you turn to the Psalms, a lot of times you'll look just before the Psalm starts, it'll be real small print above it, and it'll be the title of the Psalm. It might say, like, a Psalm of David. Or it may say a psalm given to Asaph or something like that. I don't know if you've ever seen those or paid much attention to them. But this fellow named Asaph, his name appears in the title of these following psalms. Okay, I'll give you the numbers on them. Psalms number 50, his name appears in the title there. And then Psalm 73 all the way to 83. Psalm 73 all the way to 83. So Psalm 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, and 83. His name appears in the title of all those psalms, Asaph. 50 and then 73 to 83. Heman, his name appears in the title of Psalm 88. Psalm 88. And then Jeduthun, his name appears in the title of Psalm 39, Psalm 62, and Psalm 77. Now that's, yeah, let me check something. I didn't notice it while I was studying, but let me check something here. Yeah, Jeduthun and Asaph both appear in that one psalm there. Psalm 77 says, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. So both their names appear in that one, number 77. And see what these guys would do. Somehow these psalms, you know, they had music to them. These guys would play and sing them. And, you know, we've lost. Jews still do that. I don't know. Yeah.
The letters have a numerical value, and the numerical value also has a note value.
Oh, was that right? The what now? The letter?
The letter in Hebrew has a number and then also a note value.
A note value. Oh. Well, then that may be how the melody, you could figure out the melody on the things or the music to it or something. I know that, you know, that's what they do. Because these fellows' jobs to sing. They were singers. And they'd get in there and sing and chant and do the psalms and things like that and praise God. And, you know, I mean, that's, you ever want to, you know, read something to praise the Lord, just read a psalm. Read a psalm to the Lord, you know. That really brings praise and glory to the Lord. And David wrote many of those. That's what these fellows did. They would play these instruments and sing to the Lord and things like that. So, you know, when we sing in the church service, that's to bring honor and glory to the Lord and to praise Him. So their names did appear on some of the psalms. Now, verse 1 here says that they should prophesy with harps and with psalteries and with cymbals. Now, this is, I'm not quite sure, but I'll give you something on it here, exactly what this prophecy has to do there. But it looks like you can prophesy on musical instruments. Prophesy on musical instruments. Prophecy is to foretell the future, but prophecy also edifies and exhorts and comforts. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, "He that prophesies exhorts and edifies and comforts." So that's what prophecy will do, and so to some extent, the music they played and psalms would edify and exhort and comfort. You know, I guess you've heard the saying, music soothes the savage beast. And so maybe, you know, some comfort there when they prophesied with the instruments. Could be that, comparing Scripture with Scripture. I'm not really sure, but it says they prophesied there with harps. Could be also that the psalms that they were singing, you know, depending on the psalm, a lot of the psalms, a lot of them, are prophetical. Psalms 22, talking about the Messiah, you know, how he suffered on the cross and things like that, is one for example. So, in a sense, that when they sang that, they were prophesying about something to come. Could be in that sense, okay? But nevertheless, it says they prophesy here on those harps and psalteries and cymbals. And then we see that Heman, oh man, I just thought of something I didn't look up. But we see that Heman is a seer, verse 5. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer. Now, you remember what a seer is? I went over this before. What's a seer? Now, a seer is a prophet. I gave you some reference back earlier in the book of Chronicles here. When we were talking about Samuel. In Chronicles 9, verse 22, says David and Samuel the seer. And then it talks about in 1 Samuel 9:9 about a seer and being a prophet. In the old time, they used to call him a seer, and then they called him prophets later on. So Heman is a seer, so he's a prophet. So he would be one that prophesies. So there's some connection, again, with Heman prophesying and the musical instruments. And there, so that verse right there, 1 Chronicles 25:5, talks about Heman being a seer. Now there's another verse, and I forgot to look it up, and I wanted to put it down, and I just remembered it. There's also a verse that says Jeduthun, the other fellow here, was a seer. And I have to get it for you. But there was a verse on it that said he was a seer. That means he was a prophet. So somehow they're connected up with prophecy, and they're still there, yet they're singers. Okay. Verse 2 now, we have these sons of Asaph. Now, what I wanted you to kind of do is look down through the chapter there in your Bible. Look in verse 9. And just kind of skim down verse 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, all the way down to the end of the chapter, verse 31. Just kind of skim down. I'll give you a second. With your eye, just skimming down, and you'll see that there's a man's name listed. And each verse reads pretty much like this, you know, that the fellow's name and his sons and his brethren were 12. And all the way from verse 9 all the way down to 31, it almost all reads exactly the same, except for the fellow's name, who was kind of the chief of them. Okay, y'all see that? Y'all see how from verse 9 on it says that there were 12, 12, 12, 12, all the way down through. And there was 24 of them. 24 different groups with 12 in each group. Okay, now go back to verse 2. The sons of Asaph, now there was four sons of Asaph. There's six sons of Jeduthun in verse 3. And there's 14 sons of Heman. So you add those up, that comes up to 24. What's going to be, the verses that follow, the men's names that show up in these verses will be the sons of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun. Okay? That'll be those, the men's names. If you're wondering who those men's names are, they're the sons of those three men in the first verse. Now, verse 2 says, the sons of Asaph, and you have, oh man, Zachar, okay? Now, Zachar, in verse 2, is found in verse 10. Look in verse 10. It says, the third, Zachar, he and his sons and his brethren were 12, okay? So he shows up there. Joseph, in verse 2, shows up in verse 9. Now, the first lot came into Asaph, forth to Asaph, to Joseph. That's Asaph's son there, Joseph. And then Nathaniah, he's in verse 12. And the fifth came to Nathaniah. He and his sons and his brethren were 12. Okay, then this fellow in verse 2 that's named Azareel, he's found in verse 14, but it's a little different spelling. It's a different spelling. Now, the way you can do this is you say, oh, well, how do you know it's the same guy? Well, you work it out by the process of elimination. You match up all the names in this passage, and there's a few of them where the names are spelled a little different, but they're spelled very similar. The man named Azareel in verse 2 matches up with the fellow in verse 14 whose name is Jezreel. Jezreel. You'll know, if you'll notice, the J-E-S-H in verse 14 is the only difference in the spelling. The last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 letters is the same. So just the prefix on the name was a little different on that fellow. Well, that's what it does all the way down through the passage. You have, you know, the son's name mentioned in verses 2 or verses 3 or verses 4, and then they'll be found later in the passage here, each one of the sons. Now you have the sons of Jeduthun, and now look what it says in verse 3. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zerai, Jeshiah, Hashabiah, and Mathaliah. Now, how many sons is that right there? Count those boys up. Okay, everybody come up with five? But it says six right after that, doesn't it? Boy, the Lord really messed up, didn't he? I mean, let's throw it out. Mistake in the Bible. Somebody should have written down five there instead of six. Scribal error, I'm sure. Probably if we went back to the Hebrew, we'd be able to find out what went wrong there. No, no, you don't have to do that. The answer is found in the text. There's a missing son. Just because it doesn't give his name there doesn't mean he didn't have six sons, okay? Well, Jeduthun is the father. Jeduthun's. He had six sons. He had six sons. This is a little problem text here. Okay, I'll show you how it works out. It's a process of elimination again. Okay, you have Asaph, he has four boys, and we find all them. And you have Heman, and he has 14 boys. And then Jeduthun, there's only five boys mentioned in the passage. That would come up with a total of 23 boys. But there's 24 names listed from verses 9 to 31. So the guy that's left over after you match up all the names will be the sixth son. It's as simple as that. But I'm sure some scholar, somebody wants to correct the Bible and say it's wrong there. It's not wrong. In fact, if you change that 6 to a 5, you'll really make a contradiction in the passage. Although it names five of the sons there, and then he says six under the hand of their father, you know, the Lord just throws these things in there to see if people want to believe what he says or want to reject it. I mean, there's places you can look and it looks like there's a contradiction. Remember, the Lord catches the wise in his own craftiness. Okay, I'll show you where that son shows up. You'll have, look, the sons. You have Gedaliah, verse 3. Gedaliah, he shows up in verse 9. He was the second one, Gedaliah, verse 9. Then you have Zerai, who's the second one there. He shows up in verse 11 as Zerai. You'll notice it's an I-Z-R-I. It's a little different spelling, but it's the same fella. It's almost pronounced the same way. Then the next fella is Jeshiah, and he shows up in verse 15, Jeshiah there. Then you have Hashabib, and he shows up in verse 19, Hashabib, verse 19. And then you have Mathatiah, I guess that's how you pronounce it. He shows up in verse 19. Oh, excuse me, verse 21. He shows up in verse 21. Okay, so all those five sons are in the passage. And then what you'd do, you'd have to go down and go through all the sons of Heman, all 14, and match them up. There, when you did that, and if you did that, you'd come up with one man in this whole list that didn't fit anywhere because his name wasn't mentioned. And it's the man found in verse 17. The man in verse 17 is the 10th one to Shemaiah. That fellow right there is the missing son. He's the sixth son of Jeduthun, working the thing out in the passage, only by a little detective work. Sometimes you got to get in and study the Word of God. And so by a little deduction and detective work and process of elimination, you can come up with the missing son. Although it lists, verse 3 says he only gives five names of the sons, there is a sixth son. So where's the sixth son? It's kind of like the tongue twister say that. The sixth sheep, the sick. Or the seventh sheik's sixth son is sick. Or something like that. But anyway, the sixth son is missing in verse 3, but you find him in verse 17 when you work it all out. Okay? So the only son not listed with the father shows up there. So that's just a little bit of how to work out a problem text. Somebody would throw that one at you sometime. I doubt if most people don't even know that one. You know, they wouldn't even catch that. You'd only get that by going through here verse by verse and studying it out and seeing it. And man, you think when you study through things verse by verse and you run into things like that, you're going, oh boy, the Lord sure made a mistake here, you know. Yeah, sure. No, you just got to work at it. There's no mistakes in this book. No mistakes. Okay, verse 4 and 5 now, and I'm not going to read these guys' names again, man. I'll just call them Bill and George and Hank and Henry or whatever. But verse 4 gives you Heman's sons, and there's 14 listed there, 14. And then it tells you that he's a seer in verse 5, and that God gave Heman 14 sons and three daughters. So this guy had 17 kids. I mean, can you imagine? That would be like a zoo around his house. But the Lord blessed him. Now, this is what I wanted to show you about Chronicles, where something fits in and just really is a blessing. I mean, even in all these names, there's really something good here, okay? Now, somebody look up 1 Chronicles 6:33. 6:33. Somebody got it? Keith? Go ahead and read that loud.
These are they that waited with the children of the sons of the Kohathites, Kenan and Singer, son of Joel, the son of
Shemuel. Okay. It says Heman, the son of Joel, the son of Shemuel. Now, Joel, when we studied chapter 6, you found out that Shemuel was a different spelling of Samuel the prophet. Samuel. It's pronounced almost the same way, Shemuel, Samuel, Samuel. And you look earlier in the verse, in that passage in chapter 6, it'll tell you a little earlier that Samuel had a son named Vashni and another guy. And then this guy had Heman. Well, Heman is Samuel. Samuel's grandson. Okay? Heman is Samuel's grandson. And you find that in First Chronicles 6:33 up there. First Chronicles 6:33. Somebody want to run back and get that real quick? Turn tape off. Stop it for a second. Pause it. Get on there, brother. Okay, now we're making the connection here with Heman being related to Samuel the prophet. And we looked in chapter 6, verse 33 of Chronicles. Shows you there that Shemuel is the granddad, Joel the dad, and Heman the son. Then also in the same chapter, in verse 28, it says, the sons of Samuel, the firstborn, Vishni and Abiah. And you run cross-references on those guys in 1 Samuel 8 to tell you that I believe Joel is the other name. See, a lot of times, like I've told you before, these names, they have two names sometimes in Scripture. And you just have to run references on them. Yeah, in 1 Samuel 8, 2, now the name of his firstborn, Joel, and the other one's Abijah. So Joel had another name, Vishni. Okay? Vishni in 1 Chronicles 6:28. Man, it gets like a soap opera after a while, all these names and everything, you know, trying to keep them straight. But if you can get the picture here, what you have is you have Samuel, Joel, and Heman. Okay? Samuel, Joel, and Heman. So I want you to see. Now here's we'll draw the family tree real quick. You have Elkanah and Hannah. Okay? Then Hannah prays and she gets Samuel. Then Samuel has two sons, a son named Joel. That's the line we're going to run. Joel has Heman. And Heman has 14 sons, 3 daughters. Now, Hannah also had three other sons and 2 daughters. And you'll find that in 1 Samuel 2:21. 1 Samuel 2:21. So Elkanah and Hannah had a total of 6 children. Samuel, 3 other boys, and then 2 daughters. But here's the thing. Here's the neat thing about it. Hannah, a woman who was barren, a woman who had no children, what'd she do? She said, God, give me a son. Give me a son. And when you do, I'm going to give him back to you. And so what'd she do? God gave her a son, and then she weaned the boy and took him up the temple and gave him to Eli to serve in the temple. She kept her vow, didn't she? And remember, I don't know if you ever thought about it before this class, I always wondered how Samuel could go to the temple and serve. But he could because he was from the tribe of Levi. He was a Kohathite. And so that was okay. But Hannah's prayer and her faithfulness went far beyond her prayer for a son. She had a grandson and a great-grandson and great-great-grandchildren. Her great-grandson had 14 boys. I mean, she had kids all over the place. Now, she may not have been alive at that time, but because of her prayer and faithfulness, she had 5 generations later, there was people serving God in the temple. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? to know if you stand for the Lord and train your children right, that five generations after you're gone, they're still going to be serving the Lord. Man, I about shouted when I saw that. I said, man, that's good. Oh, Hannah, she prayed and was a faithful woman. And she had Samuel, and he was faithful. And then Joel was in the temple serving, and Heman was a singer. 1 Chronicles 15:17. I don't think I just gave you that. 1 Chronicles 15:17 says, well, verse 16, where David told the Levites to appoint singers. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel. Just another cross-reference on who he is. And so Heman, here in 1 Chronicles 25, verse 4, has 14 boys. And every one of those boys are in the temple singing and praising God. Because of one faithful woman back here that prayed for a son. Man, I'll tell you, that's good. That's good. You know, that tells you, if you train your kids right, then down the road, you'll have some descendants living for God. That's what's wrong with America today. Parents, a generation ago, quit living for God. And we've got what we got today. But there's still a few people that still want to serve the Lord. So just remember, the Lord is always faithful. Man, I saw that, I just about shouted. I thought that was good. That was real good. The Lord showed me that. Amen. Still serving in the temple. Hannah's great-great-grandsons were serving God in the temple. That's good. That's good. Okay, now, real quickly, you don't have to write these down, but I do want to make another note here. Now, if you look in verse 4, you have his son, Heman's sons listed. Bekiah, Mathaniah, Uziel, Shebuel, Jeremoth, and Hananiah. Now, those first six boys right there, listed right there, I don't know what significance it is, but when they show up in that same order in the list. I mean, what I mean is they, now there may be other people put in between them, but as far as the rank of the first six boys, they follow that same rank when they're put in this order over here, if you understand what I'm saying. Okay, if you will, look, Bekiah, the first son in verse 4, he shows up in verse 13. Well, then the next one that shows up is Mathaniah, and he shows up in verse 16. Then Uziel shows up in verse 18, and the spelling's a little different. It's Azarel instead of Uziel. Same fellow, though. And then Shebuel shows up in verse 20. Then Jeremoth shows up next in verse 22. And Hananiah shows up in verse 23. Those first six boys follow one another. Now, there's, you know, some of the other sons of Asaph and Jeduthun put in between there. But as far as those six boys go, they were all in the same order in both lists. But after that, then the next son should have been Hananiah, but the next son that shows up is Josebekiah in verse 24. Well, you'd have to just sit down and go through each one and do it. But I don't know what significance that is, why the first six were like that, but it's the way the Lord did it. But nevertheless, all the sons mentioned by Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman are found from verses 9 to verse 31. And it says in verse 7, so the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 200, 88. That's 288. So if you take 12 times 24, you come up with 288. Okay? So there's 288 of these fellows that came up at their certain times to sing and praise the Lord in the temple. 288. Four sons of Asaph, six sons of Jeduthun, 14 sons of Heman. And that comes with 24 sons. Now, verse 6 through 8 says, all these were under the hand of their father for song in the house of the Lord. You could apply that to you as a Christian father, dad. It says 1 Timothy 3:4-5. Says that a bishop is to rule well his own house, or else how can he take care of the house of God or the church of God? And the same principle is back here. It says those boys were under the hand of the Father for song in the house of the Lord. So there's a spiritual application there. Cross reference with 1 Timothy 3:4-5, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And then from verse 9 to the end, just again, it's kind of repetition with the way it's worded, just. He and his sons and his brethren were 12, and just list the boys' names in there, and that's how the chapter ends up. And how much time I got left on the tape now there, brother?
5 minutes.
About 5 minutes. Okay, well, that's pretty good. This has been the first class I've been able to finish my notes before the tape ran out. So go ahead and turn it off, and we'll... Now, next week, we'll...